Mr. Deegan, are you out there? Yeah.
I am here.
Okay. All right, so I'll just finish off real quick. Say that, there are three of them that have been, in my opinion, obviously done a very methodical job of making sure that, you know, anyone who does get involved in any way, shape, or form, that they're protected. And they've been very careful about trying to protect us from getting entrapped in their system. So, and then on the other side of it, they've been very methodical in ensuring that fair and due diligence has been given to the executives of the corporate state to, once again, to reiterate, give them an opportunity to, you know, realize what they're doing in case they wanted to plead ignorance, so that they've been given an opportunity to, like I said, renounce that oath to the corporate state, and then, of course, restate a constitutional oath to a lawful society and serve the people. So that's, you know, that's...
And that went real well at the Oath Keepers, from what I hear. We turned lots of them foreign agents around.
Well, you know...
Awesome. Give us an update.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, great.
That's not good.
Gene is still on here. I think I heard Phil.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
You know, they say the pen is mightier than the sword.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we're not bringing a pen to a sword fight.
This is Phil. Yeah, I'm on. Well, this is Phil. Okay, starting on Friday about 4:20 a.m., I took off for Gene's house, pulling a trailer with Mr. Obama head, loaded up with gear and everything. Got to Gene's house about 8:30 a.m., and Gene and I had some paperwork to do. We filled out the notice, declaration, and order, which was to be mailed to the West Virginia Adjutant General and the Provost Marshal General of the U.S. Army. And these are now posted on the website. And this order was for them to arrest the lawbreakers, who by their own actions and inactions have proven that they feel that they are above the law. You know, that's just another avenue that we've, you know, that we're exhausting. We don't think really that we're going to get justice served. We don't think they're going to be arrested. But on the other hand, as someone said, we're very methodical about this. We're going about it in a way that, in the best way that we can, and in a way that they have no recourse. We've painted them into a corner, or they've allowed themselves to be painted into a corner, which is part of the miracle of everything that's happened. Just the West Virginia Constitution being what it is, unique in several respects, which I'll mention in a little bit, has allowed us to definitely make statements and show that this state, its constitution from 1872, actually has content that says that the federal government can't suspend our constitution in war. So we made copies, went to the post office and sent these out, certified return receipt. I've personally sent everything that I've sent in certified return receipt, just to be on the safe side. I mean, sometimes we filed affidavits or declarations of service. I didn't want to leave any loopholes or any way for them to slither out. Now we're in Beckley, and we're going to head toward Gilbert, which is about a little over two hours from Gene's house. We're going through the southern coal fields of West Virginia, a very depressing area. Later, I talked to a gentleman at the campsite up on the top of the mountain near Gilbert, and he said that 2 years ago there were 8 mines operating in the area. There's only one left. We went through all these little coal towns. Most of the businesses closed up. Many of the gas stations closed. Very, very depressing area. And, of course, these people do not like Mr. Obama whatsoever. I don't think he would not be wise to take the trip we took. You know, I got a lot of horns blowing and thumbs up, and with, you know, what we were carrying on the trailer. We're using GPS, which is very risky in areas like this. As a matter of fact, some people said, do not trust your GPS. You could end up in a strip mine pond somewhere. We got as close as we could looking for signs. Finally, I found a guy on a four-wheeler. He said he thought he knew where we were to go, R.D. Bailey Lake. And that's what when I talked to one of the organizers, a man by the name of Holbrook, he told me it was near R.D. Bailey Lake. So this guy on the phone really took us to the bottom of a mountain. We went up the mountain, and it was an overlook overlooking this huge lake. Unfortunately, it wasn't the right place. The ranger there said he had an idea where it was. He was very helpful and went back down the mountain and went on. Finally, we got into the town of Gilbert. A white pickup truck pulled up beside us. He said, are you looking for the summit? We said, yeah, we're looking for the summit. He said, follow me. He took us again to the bottom of another mountain, pulled over to the side. He kind of waved where I was supposed to turn, and I turned, and he pulled up beside me, and he said, yeah, you go on up this road and out this strip mine road. And I said, are you coming up? And he said, I'm coming later. So now we went about an hour on some pretty rough roads. I mean, we were going 5 to 10 miles an hour for about an hour. So I'd say we went about 10 miles, 8 miles, 10 miles, something like that. We could see people off in the distance. We could see tents and different things.
It was not a paved road.
No. No, as a matter of fact, I probably had a half inch of dust on the trailer. Obama head was coughing, and it was terrible. But I took a blower, and that's one of the first things I did was use an electric blower to just blow the dust off. It was pretty thick. So we saw a stage and vendors, a tractor trailer there, a number of campers, pickup trucks. There were wild horses in the area. They told us they were wild, and we saw horses that were just running wild. And it's tough to pitch a tent up in a reclaimed strip area because there's very little topsoil. So, well, we finally found a place. You can see where we were in the video that I'm presently uploading in high def. By tomorrow morning, it'll be up, and I will put a link on the website, hudok.info. You'll hear some of the speakers. You'll see Stuart Rhodes fly in his helicopter. You'll see the beautiful sight we had. It was gorgeous. Saturday morning, I got up and the sun was just rising over the mountains and the fog and down in the valleys. It was very beautiful. But anyway, we got there about 2 p.m. Summit was to run from Friday evening until Sunday evening. So we got there Friday about 2 and set up some tables. I set up an 10-foot square, 10-by-10-foot outdoor projection screen because I was going to show Waco Rules of Engagement and Waco New Revelation. And if you haven't seen this, I'm going to make sure I put links and upload it to a website so that you can see these videos. If you've never seen them, it's a must-see. I actually sent one of these to the FBI in Pittsburgh when my pastor had as a guest the second-in-command of the FBI in Pittsburgh. There were militias around the country, and there was a lot of talk about militias, and the government was saying, was painting them as being dangerous. And as a matter of fact, I was in the first West Virginia militia, but when I sensed that it had been infiltrated, I left, fortunately, because they did take it down with the agent provocateur. But I did send Waco Rules of Engagement to the FBI in Pittsburgh after the second in command of the FBI was interviewed on my pastor's radio program. And it was supposedly they were trying to defuse the situation of the government versus the people. When my pastor asked I think his name was Lemley or something from Pittsburgh about Waco, what he thought of Waco, and the man said, well, I really don't know much about it. So he said, well, if we send you a documentary, would you watch it? When he watched that video, he came back on a month later. He actually said, you know, I didn't know all that. He said, I can't say I trust everything in that video, but he was definitely shaken by it. He said that was basically an eye-opener for him. To see what the government did to a church, you know, calling it a compound, You'd have to see the video to really see all the things that they did, all the evidence that they lost, and all the shenanigans that they pulled. It was horrible. I was going to show that on Friday night. I had set up a 10-foot by 10-foot rear projection screen, and I had a PA system. And unfortunately, Gene and I were attacked by swarms of mosquitoes. I mean, it was unbelievable. At one point, Gene and I were sitting next to each other, and I put a jacket on, and we're swatting mosquitoes. And I took a flashlight and pointed them at my socks, and there were about 15 on my socks that would bite me through my socks. Okay. And you could just see them flying in the flashlight. We just dove for the tents. Unfortunately, there was a lot of talk that night next door, and Gene can tell you he didn't get much sleep. The next morning, that's when the Stuart Rhodes flew in. They had a bugle for a muster. Gene and I went up to the stage area, and they had some speakers, including Stuart, and which you'll see, again, some of that clip, some excerpts on the video clips that I did. I also went up on top of the hill and did a panoramic view of the whole area with the helicopter parked there, and you see a campsite off in the distance, and then the main campsite where we were close to the vendors and, like I say, the stage. And so Stuart talked, and he told us to get into state groups. They took a poll of the number of states involved, and there were people from Oregon. You know, there were a lot of people from outside the area. It was supposed to be really a five-state summit, and mainly it was West Virginia, but there was Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio. You could see three percenters, militia people, oath keepers. Stuart explained that this was a case where groups that had been antagonistic towards each other had decided to call a truce and come together. Anyway, we were supposed to go to our state groups and introduce ourselves, just form a circle, and we were supposed to give our specific skill sets that would come in handy, such as mechanics, medicine, communications, whatever we felt we had to offer the group, and we were supposed to share these. They did come around, and we wrote our names and phone numbers, phone numbers, maybe our skill sets. We were supposed to list those. And we were also supposed to tell what we wanted to learn about and be, you know, multipliers of knowledge. This was to be taken back to our communities and to prepare for different things, although they mainly talked about what the government was doing, and that the government was our biggest threat. And many of the veterans there were saying that they felt that they were doing more to protect their country now with being an oath keepers or three percenters or militias or whatever than they were in active duty, that this was the most important thing they had done. The camper next to me, the woman had lost her son in Iraq. She and her husband came over and talked to us, and we showed them the corporate papers, we showed them the American Free Press that showed General Wesley Clark saying that people that aren't happy with their government that speak out should be placed in internment camps. And we hung a peace flag, the civil flag that was around in the 1800s. That probably would have been our civil flag had it not been that we really haven't had civil government for a long time. It's been corporate government. A lot of people asked about the flag, what that was about, because it has vertical stripes and a white field with blue stars. A lot of people came over, and when we talked to them in the state group, I got to mention the case. I got to tell that I'd been to the Supreme Court several times, but the case that we had presently put the state in dishonor and default, told them that it was our job to see that the rule of law, that there was the rule of law, that was our responsibility, and told them that it was a spiritual battle, and we're doing it for the children. And I also mentioned I had a court case on vaccinations in West Virginia, and that my main skill set was media. and that's what I'm about. I did tell him that I was running for governor, but that I didn't really see a political resolution, a political way to solve our problems. So then we took a break, and then Stuart Rhodes spoke, and I was videotaping. He was talking about what was our major source of support in our communities, and he said that there had to be people in all communities. You couldn't go across the nation. You had to have people in your own area. You wanted to have your families safe, so, you know, what was there to help protect your families if you were on the road because of, you know, some brush fire? So he asked, you know, what is the first thing? And, well, it came up that it was your families, you know, your neighbors and your families. Someone says, you're not going to go to the government to protect your families. And then he said, well, what's next? And he said, churches. He said, churches, your churches. And I'm thinking, the churches, almost all are incorporated. They're government churches. When he was done speaking, I thought, I've got to bring up the fact that West Virginia Constitution says in Article 6, Section 47, that churches are prohibited from incorporating. So I went back to the site, and I got my, it's called the West Virginia Blue Book, which has the West Virginia Constitution in it. So I took the Blue Book, and he was sitting under a tent. I asked him, I said, Stuart, can I talk to you for a minute? And he said, sure. I said, well, I don't know if you remember, but I said, I called you about a year ago. I said I was wanting to have a seminar with our sheriff, and I'd invited you and Sheriff Mack and the governors of America, Larry Pratt, and all three had agreed to come to West Virginia to do a seminar with here in Randolph County with a local sheriff who had been a student of mine when I was teaching. But unfortunately, I couldn't get the sheriff to agree to it, so that seminar fell through. But Stuart said, yeah, I remember that. I said, you know, you said we're not supposed to go to the government. We can't expect the government for help. The government's our problem. I said, I want you to read this. And I took the book, and I had him read it. He read it twice. And I said, you know, churches can't incorporate. I said, they're not supposed to by the Constitution, but they are. And because they're incorporated, they're actually controlled by the government. And I asked him, I said, did you know that the government had formed clergy response teams to actually work for the government in emergency situations? In other words, the government has already circumvented what churches are supposed to do and put them under government control, especially in emergency situations. They did that in Katrina. They took over some churches and use them for the military, Hurricane Katrina. So I told him, I said, we have a court case. I said, we have all departments of the West Virginia government are incorporated, the Supreme Court, the legislature, the governor. I said, they're all incorporated. And we have a court case, and they're in default and dishonor. I said, they need to be removed. They're breaking the law. We don't have the rule of law. And Stuart said, well, I'd like to see the sheriff do that. And I said, well, if the sheriff doesn't do it, that's our duty. And I said, we don't have much time. And he said, well, that's why we need to strengthen our communities, because we don't have much time. Basically, that's how it went. He was told about the court case and that the state is in default and dishonor. I planned to contact him again and send him information. That was pretty much it. The wind blew my screen over, and I found out they were going to show videos. They were going to show something that night, Saturday night. So Gene and I decided after dinner to head out. And a lot more people were coming in. I think Saturday afternoon is probably when most of the people came. A lot of local yokels came up. They were very talkative, wanted to know things. Probably more likely to put their name down on paper than a lot of the so-called Rambo types. You saw a lot of people up there in camo with heavy weaponry, a hodgepodge of everything you could think of. And in talking to them, we found that most of them had bits and pieces of what was going on, but there maybe was one person that we talked to that really had a handle on all aspects of you know, what's happening. That's basically how it went, and like I said, I'll have the video uploaded and linked hopefully by morning, and you can actually hear some of the speakers and see what it looked like. They talked about other summits that they'd already had and how successful they were, and they had more summits planned. I think for the most part, most of these people, you know, they mean well and everything, but I just wonder how they'll be when rubber hits the road. I'm sure some of them are very dedicated and have strong convictions, but 'cause when you ask them, will you sign your name to be on a Jural Society if we can have these people removed from office? There were a few that did, but most of them, it's like, you know, I'm not putting my name on paper. I got pretty irate. Hey, you know, you're under attack. I don't want, you know, them to find out who I am or who they are, but they already know who you are. You know, they know all that stuff. And it was said by some of the speakers that don't try to hide. You don't hide. And so there were a lot of what they said I liked. I was disappointed that Stewart, you know, felt that, well, you know, it's the sheriff's job. Yeah, it could be the sheriff's job, but if the sheriff doesn't do it, then it's our job. Gene?
Yeah.
You're telling Beth, trying to get some sleep.
I don't know. We just got beside a couple guys that wanted to blow their horn all night long, all their exploits. So they just, they talked all night, and we didn't get any sleep. But generally, like Phil said, I think the people who were there, for the most part, they were concerned. But when it came down to asking them to do something, they were willing to be there to prepare for something. But when you come out to actually do something, they had to do this or that. They couldn't do that. So, you know, I was kind of disappointed, really, to be honest with you. But people, you know, people see things that are wrong, and they understand part of them. But most of the people we talked to, they were there. They knew something was wrong. But in the long run, I don't believe they'll do anything. I don't believe they have the guts to do anything, to be honest with you. We have a situation where we've already done it, and all they have to do is follow what's already done. So it's a very simple thing. Someone has to take some risk somewhere. So once a risk is taken, you're halfway off the hook as far as risk go anyway. And you can see the expression on people's faces, you know, as we showed them paperwork and stuff, when we ask them to actually sign something or do something, is, you know, is a different story. They weren't really willing to go that far. You know, for my part, I think Phil has described it. He's described everything.
Hey, Gene, did anybody take a shot at the Obama head?
No, everybody wanted to, but nobody did.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, if I had a dollar for every time I was asked if they could shoot at it, that would have paid our gas money back home.
That's what you should have done. Should have bought one to shoot up and one to take home.
Lord. What is that thing made out of?
It's fencing, chicken wire, paper mache, Bondo, a lot of paint. It's on casters. It's got so much Bondo in him, you can call him Mr. Obama Head or Mr. Obondo Head. You know?
That's good.
I did turn him on a couple of times and let him talk about, you know, you got a business, you didn't build that, and whatever we once were, we're no longer a Christian nation, and, you know, different things like that. People were excited to express their hatred for him. Of course, what we tried to always do was say, well, you got to realize this guy's just a puppet. They can always find someone to do the work he's doing. Most of them seem to be of the opinion that, forget, you know, Republicans or Democrats. We had a few thought that what's his name, Trump is the savior, which he isn't, of course. He's one of them. We tried to show that you've got to realize the big picture, and it's a corporatocracy, if I guess you could call it. And Obama's just a puppet. That's all. You know, he does their dirty work. I was going to power him up and blow some smoke rings and other things, but after talking to Stuart and everything, I think we'd done everything we could do. We decided to head back. It was a long trip back.
Well, it's kind of like when you mentioned the fact that our government has made us an enemy of the state through the War Powers Act there, the Banking Act, which was reinforced in 1917, and it states we're the enemy. But you could just about see the people's expression, and it's the same expression that you usually get when you talk to people in general about some of the stuff that's going on. They go on to something else. They don't. It's like you didn't even say that. I really don't know how to explain it, but it's like they heard it, but it don't go into their head, and they don't even reply to it.
I think it upsets their worldview, and they can't process it. It doesn't compute. They can't handle that thought because it would upset their worldview. That's the sum of it, I guess.
This is Island, Tennessee. Of course, the more you try to educate, at least from my experience, you find two types of people, those who are defensive or those who are just willing to stay willfully ignorant. Of course, that makes it frustrating, but all at the same time, you do see those who slowly listen, and they may come back and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been, sort of my challenge has been as far as, but that was even before I sort of connected with the group here, then old Tea Party and then beyond. But it just seems to be just an ongoing experience that you just sort of have to get used to that. That you just know that most people that you talk to, in some degree, they're just going to either, you know, say, well, yeah, I see what you're saying, but really they don't want to take any action. And that's the most disappointing part is every now and then you run across a person that seems like they want to do something until you ask them to sign on the dotted line or, you know, actually really do something. But I just want to put my two cents in. I yield.
After I introduced myself in the state meeting, this one gentleman came up to me and said, I've been talking to Thomas and we're working on getting the people you need. And it was very encouraging. He was definitely decked out in camo and a lot of military armaments. He looked like Rambo. He said that he understood that there was a problem with the Oath Keepers leadership, but there were people working to get the support we needed. Any particular questions?
I got a question, Phil. This is Dave in the Thumb. Have you guys considered joining the Oath Keepers? If you were inside with them, I don't know who the speakers were at these, you know, who they had speaking at these events, but if you could, you know, possibly become a speaker at these events and get to speak to the masses, you know what I mean, instead of waiting for them to come to you, to your table or, you know, whatever. I don't know if that's even possible, but has that been considered?
Well, I do plan to reconnect with Stuart, send him the documents, express the, you know, the immediacy of the situation and what could be done. That's one thing. One reason I went to the Oath Keepers conference summit was hopefully to connect with the people there, and we did connect with some of them. And like I said, I did tell them the situation, at least the West Virginia group. I probably am not going to pursue joining the Oath Keepers, but I'll try to work with Stuart. Yeah, I think they're just in one mode of operation, and that is to try to deal with the chaos when it comes. And unfortunately, that's going to be too late. We can preempt a lot of this with what we've done in West Virginia. If we would simply use West Virginia as the first domino where the top government leaders are removed from office, that would send a message, and that would be an example that people could follow. So that's what I'm going to try and press on Stuart.
So the people that were there, were they Oath Keepers, or were they just coming out to hear the Oath Keepers?
Well, I'd say there were four groups of people. There were the Oath Keepers, which was probably the majority. Then there were militia people, okay? And they spoke, and evidently they say they're more organized and greater in numbers than what people know, but that they're more secretive. Then there were 3%ers, okay? There were 3%ers there. And then there were enough.
I'm not familiar with that term. What does that mean?
Well, the 3%ers are people who go by that label simply because it only took about 3% of the population in the revolution to actually do something. So they consider themselves the ones who don't just talk but will actually do things. They're probably the most dedicated, you know, the most convicted of the groups.
How many, what percentage of the people there do you think were 3%ers? About 3%.
About 3%, right. And then when we were leaving on Saturday, there were tons of locals that were coming up to see what was going on. Four-wheelers, pickup trucks. You could tell they were locals. I would say probably by Saturday night, there must have been as many locals up there as there were Oath Keepers, 3%ers, and militia people.
Do you get a head count or a rough estimate?
I would say when we left, there were probably 250 maybe. But I'd say it got, you know, by Saturday night, just by the numbers that we passed on the road as we were leaving, because it took an hour just to get to the blacktop. I'd say there were probably another 50 or 80 that we passed just in that hour that we're heading up that way.
How was it advertised?
It was on YouTube. I watched the YouTube video. We had talked to some people in West Virginia who knew about it. Word of mouth, plus, like I said, that YouTube video.
And just got done with all the ones you wanted.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I'm Stephen in South Carolina. I got a question. I want to know about how much time do you think we have left before we need to do something?
No time. Do it now.
No time.
Yeah. We're on the edge.
I'm about ready to file my state petition that I got from Jim.
Great. Okay. Yeah, super.
Yeah, so... But I,
seven days later, you can pop the complaint right into court.
I can pop the complaint into court, but then, okay, what'll that do?
You just have to set the platform for a lawful movement. You've got to default and dishonor them so that you can use the maxims of law and biblical law to move forward. I mean, paper just sets the way. You've got to start networking right now with people, the militias in your state. Let them know that... they've got to get ready to move. Remember, conquest can be done by paper, folks. You're going to be conquered again very shortly, and it's going to be without a shot fired. They're going to do it behind the scenes on paper again for probably the 50th time in the history of this country. You can conquer a nation without firing a shot.
That's why most people won't do anything.
Well, and that's on them. I'm one man. I'm offering to assist anybody, but you've got to realize you're going to have guns to hold a territory. You can't just think that a piece of paper doesn't do anything for anybody unless you're able to back it up. And see, they can do paper
okay,
all day,
well,
but they'll back it up.
I don't know any of the militias. I'm just doing this. I'm just one man by myself.
Well, I mean, at least you're setting the foundation, and maybe you can get some news to break. Maybe the militia will contact you, or maybe they're one of the groups that's on this call can get you in touch with the militia in your state. I know there's normally several militiamen on here. If you get your information to Jim, he can probably get it out to the right people. I mean,
okay,
it's either that or we're going straight to war.
That's what it looks like to me.
Well, it doesn't have to be war, though. It doesn't have to be. They're cowards. They've got some hired guns, but the only hired guns that you really have to be scared of is the military. But the military issue can be addressed. Your local sheriffs, your state police, those are the ones that, you know, they'll kill you without thinking twice just because they're scared to death of you right now. They're scared to death of you.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
And so they're on trigger fingers there, and they'll pull it very quickly. And that is why you know, get your information to Jim. I'm sure we can probably find someone that would talk to you in your state that would be ready to come in and assist. But you've got to set a foundation. Otherwise, you're just an enemy belligerent, and they'll just come eliminate you one night in the middle. Middle of the night while you're sleeping.
Yeah, I don't sleep so good now. I'm an ex-Vietnam veteran, so I don't sleep so good now anymore anyways.
Well, I don't blame you. I barely sleep at all, so I feel your pain. I mean, I'm at war right now. I'm a prisoner of war right now, actually. So, but it's in my own country.
Why do you say you're a prisoner of war?
Because I'm confined by the military corporation.
Oh, well, then we're all... We're all prisoners of war, then.
Well, if you can get out of your house, though, you can move around. You still have locomotion.
Oh, are you on some kind of a?
Oh yeah, I can't move anywhere. No, not parole. I'm on confinement.
You have a bracelet or something?
Oh yeah. That's a prisoner of war.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I did 80 days in the state, South Carolina State Prison. They didn't send me to county. They sent me to state prison because I refused to get a driver license, register my private property, and get insurance. So they sent me right straight to the South Carolina State Prison.
Well, absolutely. You're belligerent.
I spent 80 days there. Pardon?
You're a belligerent. That's why.
Yeah.
They can.
What was the charge?
Pardon?
What was the charge?
No license, no registration, no insurance.
80 days in the state pen for
That's
no
right.
license or insurance. You've got to be kidding me.
Wow. I'm not
kidding. That's a felony in West Virginia. That'll get you 1 to 3 years.
I thought there's a, you know, you only need a driver's license if you're committing commerce.
Well, you need a driver's license unless you've moved out of the corporate system, because under the War Powers Act, you're required to have a license for everything, permission.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask pretty please.
Yeah.
Time of asking pretty please is over, isn't it, people? I mean, it's
absolutely.
Yeah. It's over. Yeah.
So send your contact info to Jim. I'm sure Jim at the end of the call will give out his email, and I'm sure we can find.
Yeah, I've been already in contact with Jim. I've already been in contact with Jim. That's how I got on his phone call. So I'll just tell him again that I need to contact more people in South Carolina if he's got any way for me to do that.
Because, you know, I would think at this point the militias would be able to start standing up, getting ready, and they could sign on to the complaint, the petition. I mean, you've got a great complaint, being kidnapped. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I'll probably need some help on writing that stuff up, though.
The complaint, we have a template up for it, and I think if time permits, if I have time, we'll be doing a call on what to remove from the one that we filed, so that it's applicable to your state, but there is a template.
Okay, cool. It's on that website.
I'm not sure if Hudok .info has it up.
We don't have
it on there.
I don't believe we have the a template as of yet. We obviously
we've got the West Virginia in Word doc
right.
form.
Right.
Yeah,
we've got West Virginias out there, but I'm just saying we don't have like a blank that can.
Not just a print off and sign. No, this one they're
right.
going to have to get on a call and do a little editing and
right.
understand what it's actually saying, and of course draw up the injury that has been inflicted upon them. But that shouldn't take more than a half hour to do.
Okay, am I going to be using the Constitution for the injury, or because
you're just going to use real law? Real law.
Okay, what's real law?
Real law is in actual harm. You know,
actual
kidnapping,
harm. Okay.
Assault, battery, rape, theft. Aided and abetting, breach of contract.
In other words, like natural God law, in other words, like, right?
Yeah, you could say that.
Stephen, you actually have a similarity with Tom, because Tom was basically kidnapped, and so you'd almost be able to mirror that, you know, at least that portion of it. You may not be in as, you know, bad a shape as far as, you know, from starting from square one, or so to speak, you know, you'd be able to extract out those pieces.
Thomas, yeah. If I may, I believe Hartford Van Dyke has, you know, criminal complaint templates that people can use.
Yeah, but he expects you to go out and put it on the street, and we don't have time for that.
Right.
You know, you got to go out and market it and put it out on the street and put it in newspapers and tell people, you know, they've harmed me. And the people don't care if you've been harmed. They only care if they've been harmed. So that, you know, Hartford Van Dyke may have worked a little while back, but he's not really working within the system. He's just trying to get public support so that the pressure's on them and they just let it go. That doesn't solve the problem, though. Problem is they've got to be removed from office or purported office. That's the real problem.
And with that, I'd like to just interject that, you know, you folks on the call, what we obviously need, we're all always talking about, is enforcement. If, you know, if you're not of that type, but you know somebody or you know folks, whether it be in your own state community or not, outside of the state, another state, obviously, please get in touch with me and I will corral you to the right person who's trying, you know, at this time, you know, to do just that, which is corral like-minded individuals in the area of enforcement so that the various folks in the various states don't feel like they're a lone wolf being asked to lead, you know, a charge, or to stay behind, you know, Tom, Phil, and Gene, you know, all by their lonesome. So, you know, we're trying to coordinate getting these folks together on their own time and to start a dialogue so that they can at least start to learn about each other through familiarities at first on the phone, and then, of course, you know, eventually getting onto Jitsi so they can start talking, you know, serious details if they finally feel comfortable enough. But, you know, the whole point being that, please, you know, get in touch with me, email me, tell me, you know, Jim, please call me, you know, and if I don't already have your number on the phone list that I have, leave it with me or leave a whatever. Try to call me. My number is area code 941-330-7040. And so, you know, please do that because, believe it or not, you know, don't always want to paint such a horrible negative picture or give you a feeling of Debbie Downer on these calls. There are actually people doing just what I'm saying. But there's strength in numbers. And so even if it's one person and they want to be involved, you know, it's somebody. It adds to the group. It adds to the number. Obviously, you know, best case scenario is you know someone that's in a larger group and that they can eventually corral those folks that they work with and know into these calls and we start to build some numbers. So, you know, time is short. It is happening, but it's, you know, there are large groups potentially that are trying to get brought in, you know, but you know, everyone sort of needs to get that warm, fuzzy feeling that they're not going to be the only ones out there. You know, as Tom has mentioned before, you know, we're looking at numbers in the 500 plus range. And that is what people need to hear to feel, you know, to get that warm, fuzzy feeling that they're not going to be just, you know, walking down the street with, you know, a couple of dozen people. They need to feel that there's a presence on that day if and when it happens. So once again, I just wanted to provide some light to say, and I'm not trying to overdo this, but I'm just saying conversations are being held, but we need more. And this is what we keep doing in these phone calls. You know, if you're participating with the state petitions, God bless you, and thank you for your help. If you're participating already in the enforcement in some way, shape, or form behind the scenes and are having those conversations, you know, once again, God bless you and thank you for your help. But for all the rest of you who have not participated in anything, you know, it's time that you really start going through your phone address book and you start really digging. You know, we need help. And so, you know, get in touch with me. I'm not going to be the one that sits and downs and has the power with them, but I will definitely direct them to the leaders that are trying to corral the cats, so to speak, and get everyone sort of on the same page and get familiar with one another from various states and various groups. If and when that happens, you know, it will be, they will be the only ones that have the details of it. And, but that said, I just want to mention one more thing. I mean, I have full intentions of making my way to West Virginia here and this month at some point in time. I'm going to bring my list of phone numbers, so you could probably anticipate a phone call from me, and I'm going to let you know that I'm there, so that if you feel brash enough to, you know, do what you need to do to get there, then, you know, I'm just going to try to at least set the example to say, hey, you know, I'm one standing behind the three, and hopefully that will start to at least gather some people in that direction, you know, because really, you know, somebody wants to see somebody start it, and I will be that one, you know, to go out there. So, you know, and I'll let you know through phone calls that I've made it there. So, and, you know, obviously 30 days is not a long time, and we all know roughly how this is supposed to play out or when it's supposed to start. At least we have rough ideas. So, you know, we're not going to give exact dates, but you can pretty much fill in the blank. And so, you know, be ready. You know, I'm going to call whether you show up or not. I mean, it's not going to, you're not going to offend me one way or the other, but I'm going to let you know I'm there and where I'm at, and then you can come meet me. And who knows? Maybe a group of 50 is what is enough to get some local people involved, and maybe that will be enough to get some of the larger groups that are possibly dragging their heels a little bit to say, you know, let's make this a go. And, of course, timing will be critical, which is not in our control. I mean, this is, you know, yeah, we can say it's up to them to, you know, launch whatever they're going to launch. But, you know, I really feel, and of course, I'm such a big believer in God, that, you know, this is a God's timing type thing. And that, you know, we don't know that. We don't know how he's going to play it. I don't know how he's going to use us to do his work. All I really feel in my heart is that the listeners over time have been all tapped on the shoulder. You're all listening for a reason. You know, you're not watching Dancing with the Stars or some crappy television program. You're spending your Monday and Thursday nights here by and large because you have something inside of you that says, you want to be a part of this solution. So I'm going to avail that opportunity to you soon. And we'll see if you are ready to be brave enough to step forward. You know, with that said, of course, I do want to finish up by saying, you know, I'm not looking to try to draw you out to West Virginia to support the three men in their quest, just so that we can foolishly walk down the middle of a road with not great numbers. But I believe that someone has to always take the, you know, you have to take the lead, and then others don't mind getting behind you once they feel, you know, comfortable with whatever number they're seeing amass. So so that's it, and I yield.
Okay, I'm just going to say one thing is that I sometimes I wonder, because I'm kind of spiritual in a way, and I wonder if my past life has made it impossible for me to know whether the rapture has already happened and I didn't even know it. Because that's what it seems like to me right now, is that things are going on, like we're talking about this as a spiritual war or a religious war.
Well, my opinion, you know, it's only my opinion, and I hope I'm not wasting people's time with it. But to go down that path, you know, this is, for me, you know, what I have felt in my heart and really throughout my life. I've almost felt that, you know, I was made for this time and place, whatever that role is, inconsequential or purposeful. But what I'm trying to say is this is a battle of titans on a spiritual realm. This is what's going on. Okay.
Yeah.
So the heavy lifting, the planning is all being done by those two entities. And us people down here, since we understand that God works through us, we have to assume, obviously, that, for lack of a better expression, the beast or it or the dark side or whatever you want to call it has its minions. So we have, you know, you have its minions and you have the Lord's minions. And I believe we're part of the Lord's minions. So, you know, I don't believe, obviously, and this is why everyone's dragging their feet. Nobody wants to throw their life away or put it at foolish risk. So that's why nothing, I don't think, will be done. And I don't think anyone agreed to participate unless the numbers were right. And we all felt comfortable, you know, supporting the three in West Virginia when the numbers are right. And so, but that's the whole point of the conversation is that someone has to start. And I don't mind telling everyone that I'm going and I will be there soon. And so when that happens,
when are we supposed to go to West Virginia?
Well, I'm not going to say. I'll give you a call. I mean, ultimately, I mean, if we all just, you know, get off the phone and make plans the next day or two to start heading there, it would be, you know, it would be nice. And I know Tom, Phil, and Gene would love that. But, you know, the point being is that, you know, it is going to happen. I'm not going to tell you exactly what date. It's an open line. It's recorded. And I don't necessarily believe in, you know, exposing all my cards, you know, foolishly. But, you know, that's why I said in the beginning that, you know, this month is supposed to be the witching month, as we all sort of feel in our hearts. And so, you know, that's it. You know, it's going to happen, you know, relatively soon with respect to how long we've waited for this. So, you know, but I will give a call to folks. I'll have my list and I'll let you know I'm there or on my way. You know, as I'm driving or whatever, I'll start making calls, and, you know, then it can go out on the Coconut Telegraph, you know, start calling everybody, you know, that, you know, thinks that you think would even, you know, consider doing such a trip. And once again, this isn't to amass in a small number and foolishly walk down in the center of Main Street, Charleston, you know, knowing that is all we're going to do is put ourselves in harm's way. It's to start a movement, to start people to gather, you know, and, you know, that may take, you know, a couple of weeks for the, you know, for the start of it. And then obviously, you know, the follow up where, you know, people start trickling slow at first, but hopefully we build some momentum. And hopefully before the dark side pulls the plug, if you'd allow the expression, you know, and they start their to create their vacuum and their void and do, as Tom has insinuated time and again over these calls, you know, hopefully we have the right number. And it is, you know, and this is where I mentioned God's timing. So, you know, have faith. Thomas mentioned time and again also the maxim that God helps those that help themselves. So hence, you know, it's time to, you know, the proverbial expression, and I'm sorry to be rude, but it's time to shoot or get off the pot. You know, it's that time. It's the end of days.
That time.
You know,
I agree. Yeah.
So anyways, that's it. So I'll yield.
Jim, this is Sandy, and Thomas and Phil and Dean. You know, I'm back in Florida, so you know that, Jim, I'll be going whenever you give the call.
Yeah, I'll call you. I'll pick you up on the way. Don't worry.
All right, I yield.
Is Steve not here tonight?
Steve is not here tonight.
He
had to beg out with another important call, so I'm sorry.
Good. Maybe it's – no, that's fine. Maybe it's a good call. Okay.
Yeah, it should be.
Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. We all have some – sometimes we have better things to do. Just to put the end of the case here, we've now exhausted all remedies within their system. So I don't want to hear anybody saying Oath Keepers. I don't want to hear anybody saying go to your local sheriff. We have completely exhausted it within their system at the highest level of enforcement now, which is the military. And they will have until either Thursday or Friday to do their job. And at that point, you will then quite clearly see that the military at this point is your enemy as well. We do have an amended complaint that will go in this week, and I think the people, it will be made very clear to them what they have the right and ability to do once this is filed. I think it's set for Friday, but it may be Thursday. So as soon as that's up there, then that will be digitally posted for all to see. And you'll be able to see, really, the true authority you have as the people on the land here. Because we have a lot of people like a Judge Blue Blood out of Alaska who thinks that you should just sit back and keep begging them to stop raping and pillaging. And she's been doing it since 06. It's now 2015. We're still being raped and pillaged. So there are a lot of groups that want you to just sit back and say, we're going to do it for you. Trust me, if they're telling you they're going to do it for you, they're not doing anything for you. They're doing it for themselves. So it is up to you now, the people on the soil, to do something besides complain and moan, type on a keyboard. You need to get out and network. You need enforcement. So you need to get in touch with the militias in your area. Get on Facebook, Google. There's militias in every state. Jim can probably give you the names of a few that are nationwide, and then Google them. Find them on Facebook. Find them on Twitter. Start contacting them, telling them, you know, the time is getting near. What are you willing to do? How can I set the foundation for you to do it? You know, the template for the foundation is here in West Virginia, regardless of what the naysayers say. They don't understand law. They don't understand how the game works. If they did, they would have already done this years ago. So it is time. It's past time. I mean, I don't think a single state could get a complaint in and adjudicate the matter out fully before the end is here. And I don't think there'll be a shot fired this time. I think it will be paper again. And you will be conquered again. And your law form will change, your venue will change, and you might or might not be told about it. They don't have to tell you. Not required. They're your king. Just as we have King Obama now, well, I would say that someone conquered us around the time he came into office, by the way he's acting. So I don't really have anything to say. We've got the various things that can be done. I just sent Phil the final versions of the employment contract, court of record, Your declaration of sovereignty, if you wish to go the route I did. We've got the...
How can I learn how to go the route that you did?
That is, well, Jim had it. I mean, Jim has it. If you get a hold of Jim, I don't think Phil will have it posted till maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's going more along the lines of the organic trust from your birth that we just failed to accept and acknowledge and continue. And so someone else called the mighty, mighty Pope stepped in and took it for you because you were incompetent and didn't accept, acknowledge, claim, and continue it. So
we weren't incompetent. We didn't know about it.
Well, that's how they say you're incompetent, because they say you should have known about it. It's a never-ending catch-22 with these morons that are running the world. Once you understand the game, it's quite easy to play the game. It's quite easy to play the game. But if you go through, I know it's not, there's no real organization to it. I recommend just go to hudak.info and look, check, click every link. See what's in there, because we've got a ton of stuff in there. And there will probably be a new link for the stuff that I just sent him tonight, sometime tomorrow, if he has a chance. And take a look at what we filed in the court case. It's about 50 pages total, maybe a little over. Sit down for an hour and read it, so you get an understanding of arguments that can be made and talking points when you talk to people thinking about taking action. You have the right of self-preservation, and we haven't utilized it. So you need to make that clear.
But see, if you utilize the right of self-preservation, they're going to come after you with twice as many guys after that.
Well, you think so. You think, but you don't know. Have you seen a group of 1,000 heavily armed men doing something? You know, that'll shend.
But if I take out the first five,
I'm not talking Bundy. I'm not talking Bundy Ranch holding a territory. I'm talking about doing something. 1,000 heavily armed men walking into a government office and taking it. That's self-preservation. Walking in the streets, protesting, petitioning, begging, you know, on TV, oh, Black Lives Matter or this or that. It does nothing. That's not self-preservation. That's not self-preservation. That's stupidity, really, at this point. How many years are we going to ask them to stop? You know, they showed you what can be done with a few good men at Bundy Ranch, that they will run and cower. Run and cower. So the excuse of, oh, they'll come hunt us down. Look, they're going to hunt you down anyways. If you have any idea that you're going to be safe in the future, you're sadly mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. If you're over the age of 35, you will be the first to be exterminated because you're no longer useful to them. They're only concerned with keeping the younger generation because they are good slaves. They can work 16 hours a day. They have the technology. They don't need the older people anymore. They don't need them. We're moving to a technocratic society. That is exactly what the Pope is doing, is moving us towards a technocratic society. That is a society based upon technology, not the number of humans here. So you might as well look at it this way. You're going to be executed anyways. So why not try to stop what's coming so that your children actually have a future, or your neighbor's children, or your community's children have a future, and stop worrying about ourselves? It's not about us. Matter of fact, Judge Blue Blood out of Alaska, her generation should have put an end to it. And then she wants to whine to me because I'm taking action. Well, this should have been handled, you know, decades ago, a century ago, by our forefathers. And they dropped the ball on us. They dropped the ball. And they were either bought and paid for, or the propaganda caught them. And they followed the propaganda line. But if you're over the age of 30 or 35, you just might as well admit to yourself you're going to be exterminated. So what are you going to do to stop that extermination that's coming? What are you going to do? I know what I'm doing. I know what I've done. I know what I will be doing. But can you answer those questions for yourself? And I'm not jumping on anybody's case because, you know, we inherited a problem. Now, I don't think there's anybody old enough on this call that we can actually look at them and say, you know, you could have stopped this problem in the beginning. I don't think there is. Even though Phil and Gene's pushing it there, you know, I heard they played with dinosaurs as kids.
Thanks a lot.
But, I mean, there's not a person alive on this call that can say, that we can look at and say, you caused this. You could have stopped the beginning of this. Okay, that's how deep it goes. But, you know, we can't keep saying, oh, well, we inherited it. Oh, we just have to. You don't have to live with it. And the almighty author, he'll support you if you're doing the right thing. But if you think just sitting in a chair on a phone in front of a keyboard is his idea of taking action, you're sadly mistaken. Because I've seen more doors open for me the more I put myself out there in harm's way than I ever did sitting behind a keyboard typing documents up. I mean, the spotlight on me is tremendous at this point. And yet here I still am. And with the things I've said to them, not only in my private case, but in this case presently, you know, it has to be divine intervention to protect me because I have a very big mouth. But it's not our fault. We just allowed it to continue. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, our authorization comes from the Bible, and it's reiterated in the Declaration of Independence. We're doing exactly what the founders would expect us to do, and what our Lord, you know, he expects us to be good stewards and to stand, and having done all. So, you know, I feel confident that we're doing the right thing, and I told the I told him at the Oath Keepers meeting, I'll be the first to go in. You know, if we have the numbers, I'll be the first. I'll go in first. And I do want to say that we are going to file an amended complaint. We're adding some very interesting people in the what may be the last amendment to our complaint. But I'm going to shoot for filing for Gene and I to file this on Friday. And I'm going to shoot for 3 p.m. If everything goes right, we will live stream on livestream.com. If you go to, if you type in my name or Gene or Thomas, type in our names, that should take you to, especially Philip Hudock, because it's my live stream channel. And what we plan to do is from the third floor of the Capitol building, which is where the Supreme Court of Appeals office is, we will be presenting the filing of the amended complaint. And after it is filed, it will be read in its entirety and live streamed at the same time from West Virginia Capitol. So I would recommend that you try going to that live stream channel. If everything works out right, 3 p.m. on Friday, you will see us file the amended complaint, which is going to be very interesting for the state. And, you know, I definitely will record it and YouTube it, but also we plan to live stream directly from the Capitol. So just wanted to give you that heads up. I yield.
This is Jim from Florida. I just wanted, Tom, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, I just want to make sure that everybody that was listening, you know, obviously about me heading in that direction and entering West Virginia, and anyone who wants to follow, you know, I think that obviously you need to sign an employment contract. That employment contract is just a couple of pages, but the important part of that is not necessarily the quote-unquote employment contract, but the protection that's involved in it, and that is the shorter version of the Declaration of your Independence and Pure Freedom. So if that's not – is that right, Tom? That paperwork needs to be signed by us, you know, if we're going to go in and help you with this.
If you're offering assistance of a nature more than just being present as a body, absolutely, and that is simply to to rebut the presumption that you are a corporate slave, an enemy combatant of them, and that that you are a free man or woman on the soil ordained by your author to be there without interference. And, of course, if you wish to assist in any remedy that we create, absolutely, the only way that you could interface with the Jural Society would be by private contract, and we have that employment contract. Final version will be posted. I sent you a final version earlier, Jim, with a final version of all the other documents. I did double-check them all. Yeah, any remedy that we effectuate here, you would definitely need, you would have to sign that. Otherwise, we cannot work with you because your standing capacity would be that of almost a foreign agent to us because you're not of our society. You do not have the proper standing capacity. And it would almost be as if the kings and the slaves were working together. And I can tell you that kings never work side by side with slaves. And I'm not using that to be derogatory. I'm just telling you that you have to understand standings and capacities here. And if you are a slave, then that means you are owned by U.S. Inc. And if you do anything in contradiction to their laws or to harm them, you are opening yourself to possible charges of treason, sedition, insurrection. All of those are very stiff felonies. And, you know, the feds would love to make an example of some people if they could.
Right. So that's really the whole point, folks, is that, you know, especially, you know, you folks that have been listening to the calls, you know, you kind of get it. But I guess what I was trying to emphasize is that for folks that you know that could lend some help in enforcement in particular, or even just want to contribute to the en masse type numbers in West Virginia when it comes time, you know that you come find me because I'm going to bring a printer and ink and a lot of paper. And we'll get a hold of the court of record seal that exists for West Virginia right now. And so we want to make things legal on the paper side of things so we don't get caught, you know, in like what Tom just explained. So, you know, I'm in particularly the mission that I'll be on when I go there is obviously to support that movement when it happens, but prior to the numbers being reached and everyone feeling comfortable moving in that direction, I want to try to help make sure that people have their paperwork in place. So I'll be acting as an administrator there. So, you know, you all have my number. You know, if you pass my number on to other folks who are making their way there, believe me, I'll let you know where you can find me. It'll probably be somewhere obviously public and accessible. Relatively private, but if you can figure that out. But I'll let you know exactly where it's going to be when I get it set up. And that way, you know, I can try to help you make sure that at least you have that peace of mind that, you know, your paperwork's been filled out, you have your stamp from the Court of Record and the Jural Society, and therefore, you know, you can participate and not feel like you're going to get caught in that, as Tom just explained, in their system and find yourself in a bad way. So, you know, I just wanted to make that perfectly clear toward the end of this call because that's, I think, imperative. Wouldn't you say, Tom?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to realize that that there are presumptions of law and presumptions of law that are utilized against us on a daily basis. So you may say, I'm free. But I can tell you that if you haven't put it on paper somewhere and given notice of it, you're nowhere near free. You're nowhere near free. And their system will gobble you alive. I've been gobbled by it, and I was actually on paper as being free. That is because I was causing some serious problems through the way that I practiced law within their system. And so of course, the more that we have come out of their system, the quicker they die. It also starves the beast. It's taking income away from them. Their system is, regardless of what Judge Blue Blood or Mr. Curry out west say, it is all accounting that's going on within their system. And that's part of the Babylonian black magic money, along with these debt notes that they hand us and call it money. This is all ancient stuff that they've been practicing. We have to realize that, as Phyllis said, and I think Gina said many times, this is not only a physical battle, this is a spiritual battle. And so you must come out the proper standing capacity on the right side. I know I've had a lot of people tell me I'm the Third Reich, and that's fine. You can say whatever you want about me. I still, when my head hits the pillow, I still sleep good. It doesn't bother me one bit. But what I've tried to do is to act as counsel to everyone so that the best we can do to defend you and to keep you safe, we're doing. And, so that's all I've tried to do. The amount of time I've put into writing and studying is no one could ever repay me for that. I've lost my family. I've lost time with kids that you can never get back. So, I've sacrificed a whole lot here to try to keep everybody in line and safe and to actually do something that is actually has a chance of working besides just saying we're doing something over here or we're talking to somebody here. And that's the best I can do. I cannot do anything else for the people other than what my skill is. And my skill is understanding the game that's being played on an international scale and attempting to work my way through that maze and to go ahead and to put them in default and dishonor and to be able to invoke remedies that most people wouldn't see are available. So if anybody has any questions concerning any paperwork, I would say right now Jim is probably the one. He's got access to them all, so if you email him, I'm sure it's very easy for him to find what you're looking for and to send it out to you without much problem. But all these documents in one form or another are either on or going to be on hudoc.info. And take a day, sit down, read through it, click every link. There's a lot of stuff on there that those of us that are awake, well, we might not be as awake as we think we are. And, I'm trying to educate everyone the best I can in the quickest manner with only the things that really matter instead of confusing the issue and trying to overbog you with things that really have no, it has no bearing on what you need to do. If you want to learn everything, you'll have time in the future if we can win here. You'll have plenty of time to do that in the future. But right now, we don't really have time to educate you fully. The best education you'll get is the filings we did. And anything else at this point is just, it's not really wise to worry about at this point. Is there anything else you want me to hit on, Jim?
No, I think that's all right for now. All you folks out there working on petitions, please go ahead and finish them up. Get them in the mail if you haven't already. There is no deadline for today or tomorrow. It was just a goal. So if it takes you a couple of days from now, whenever you get them done, just, don't stress over it. Put some effort into it to get them out there as quickly as you can, and that's the best that can be done. So thank you for that.
And if you do that, send a digital scan of the wet ink and sealed document to hudoc@hudoc.com, and We have a little link that we will post it for you if you're comfortable with it being posted.
This is Gene. If I could say something, if the other people who have started on their paperwork, if they can, it's really imperative if they can get their paperwork initiated in their various states, then the powers that be now will not be able to concentrate so much on us. Right now, they can concentrate all their forces on us. But when they get other states doing the same thing, that complicates it a little bit for them. I know they have a lot of power, but this still complicates matters on how to deal with an uprising like this.
And you would hopefully take some of the heat off me. Let them look at someone else for a little while. No, I'm kidding. Look, the pressure bus pipes, and you have to realize that this is not a state thing. This is not a country thing. This is an international thing. And anything that you can do to show that you're aware of what's being done, you're aware that they've broken the contracts, you're aware that it's nothing but fraud, definitely scares them quite a bit. They don't show it, but the guys running the show behind the scenes, trust me, they are they're getting very scared. They're already scared of what we've done here. And, it's only going to get worse for them here on out because they refuse to accept responsibility and take the offer of forgiveness that we offered many months ago. And so their choices, they will come to roost, and they will pay for their choices at some point in time. It may not be by us. It may be someone else in the future. But they have been addressed. And whether they want to recognize it, as many people in these emails have been sending me, if you don't understand what we did, I can't help you. Because we really, Gene and Phil went through and made these filings as simple as they could be, because had I written them, I can guarantee 99% of the people would have never understood them, and I think even most of the state officials would not have understood what I was doing. But they worked with me very closely to get this down to the level that really a child in junior high can understand, and so there isn't no excuse for not reading the filings and understand what's being done. Unless you just have a closed mind. And Gene is right. We need pressure from every point that can be taken. Even if all you can do is get in a petition, that's more than what we've had so far. And so that's good. And we need to continue down that path and put pressure. Start walking into offices if you're not comfortable with that. Give them the document to rescind their corporate status and vacate the office and offer them forgiveness and their job and their freedom of movement, their freedom of their assets from seizure, and allow them to come back to the other side. And at least if you've offered them the chance, when you take action in the future, at some point, you've done everything you can. They've been given notice, and they can't claim plausible deniability as a defense anywhere. And that's really the basis of what we've done here, which is to show that they violated the contract. So we called them on it, and we said it's void then. If you're not going to adhere to it, it's void. And so they've basically voided their own contract by their own actions and inactions, and that had nothing to do with me. That was them, them in and of itself. And so everybody says, oh, you haven't won the case. No, we won the case because we came in looking at it from contract and commercial side. We included the other jurisdictions for the various crimes that they've committed just to make sure it was sewed up nice and tight. But their own inaction after being noticed of it and the fact that they actually broke the original contracts allows someone to stand up and say, hey, you broke the contract. And here's the reasons why you broke the contract. And if you can't rebut these reasons, then the contract is null and void. You don't exist. You have no authority in or at law to exist. And at that point, you are simply an imposter. You're an imposter. And at that point, self-preservation and the law of necessity kicks in. And anybody that can't understand that, you're in the wrong game right now. I would suggest go to your local Walmart, pick up some sweets and some chips, and turn on American Idol, because you're in the wrong ballpark. These are very simple concepts that some of the supposed brightest minds working on things for us fail to be able to understand. Contracts, contract law. So with that, I would say Friday evening you will have the wedding signature of the amended complaint. And once that's done, we will be able to show the people that there is a much simpler way to get something into their court, at least to start saying, hey, we're going to void this contract unless you can prove you're absolutely compliant to every term and clause within it. And don't let anybody tell you you need a court order from them for them to disappear. Because as of the moment of this filing, they're gone. They're gone.
Are you talking about the moment of the petition filing, or what filing are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the final amended complaint that we're putting in. At that moment, they've actually ceased to have any authority. And we've already done that with certain entities. But we will be doing that with the entire state, all the way down to the local level.
Okay, and so do I need to do that in South Carolina?
The next step after a complaint. After a petition is the complaint. And that is just simple contract law that you just need to tell them this is where you violated the contract. Are you going to fix it? And at the point they're unwilling to fix it, the contract is void. And that contract is what allows them to exist. It's really this simple, people. It's really this simple. Don't let Judge Blue Blood and all these other idiots running around saying, we got to go to international court and we got to beg and got to talk to the Pope. You don't have to do any of that. It's simple contract law, simple maxims. That's all it is.
So are you saying that the contract they broke is the Constitution?
That is a contract. They just called it something funny to make you think it's anything other than a contract. It's a contract.
Okay.
It's what allows
them to exist.
Okay, I
just wanted to get that straight in my head, okay?
Yeah, it's what allows them to exist. And absent that contract being in effect, they have no authority. They may be there, and they're there under what I would call the doctrine of conquest or the law of conquest simply because they can control that area because they have guns. But that doesn't mean they have a legal or lawful right to exist. See, we're removing their legal and lawful right to exist. At that point, that is when the law of necessity, self-preservation, and you may take arms against the arms takes effect. Lawfully, because any action you take under the law of necessity is supposed to have a lawful underpinning. Otherwise, the law of necessity really doesn't protect you in the long run. And I think you can look at the Nuremberg trials to see a lot of that in action. So to invoke the law of necessity lawfully, you need to have a foundation of why you're doing it. And as soon as that what you're trying to accomplish is finished, the law of necessity has to disappear. You cannot do what this entity here we call the United States of America, in all caps, has done, which is to continue to say for years that we're under the law of necessity. We're under the law of necessity. You cannot do that legally or lawfully under the law of necessity. But you have to remember.
So you're like invoking that that guy Bastiat, his thing about self-preservation.
Well, no, I'm going much deeper to true maxims of law and equity, which are really derived from biblical principles. Bastier was more of a philosopher, in my opinion, and his thoughts were correct if you think about them. They're logical, they're common sense,
right.
And they're actually facts and truth, but they're not maxims.
Okay.
And there is a list of maxims on the website. There's a 20-page book on contract law. And in today's environment, all you need to read is 32 pages, and you should be able to traverse any problem you have with any fictional entity on Earth just through 32 pages of reading. It's not complicated.
Of the contract law you're talking about?
Yeah, there's a 20-page book on contract law, and there's 12 pages or 13 pages of maxims that we have on the website. And that's all you need to know. And if you understand those two things, you can destroy anybody that comes at you that is not operating in honor, such as the government or the purported government at this time. Anything else is a smokescreen and overlay so that they can continue the fraud, the deception, and the raping and the pillaging without too many people questioning it.
Okay, the judge that I was in front of told me that he didn't have to honor the Constitution.
He doesn't. He doesn't. Because you're an enemy. You're an enemy of him. So he doesn't. And technically, you're not a signer of any Constitution. So technically, you really don't have standing to say, hey, I'm a party to that contract. And that is why with the petition, there's the acceptance acknowledgement of those certain contracts so that you can say you're a party to it. And you can say, you know, you violated these clauses here. But once again, you never want to enter a contract that you're not fully comfortable with. And a lot of people are not comfortable with their state constitutions or with the federal constitution because they understand what was really contained within. So the judge was correct. He's not lying to you. But your first mistake was being in front of a judge. There's a maxim of law, body cures the error. So if you're making an argument of any kind that you're not this or you're not that or they don't have the authority for this, you've already consented to it by walking in. And because it's a military tribunal, the process is defective from the beginning, and once you've gone past the abatement, you've already consented to the military tribunal at that point. And then the only thing that's left is to collect the spoils of war.
Yeah, and the thing I realized after reading some of your stuff is that in South Carolina, it says right on the courtroom that it's a court, it's a summary court, and they just left out the word marshal.
Yeah.
It's a summary court-martial that you're walking into.
Well, you don't even have to go that far. All you have to understand is the law of the flag. What's being flown in there? Is it the civil flag? Is it the battle flag?
And the flag with the fringe on it, yeah.
That's the war flag.
Yeah.
So that's a military tribunal.
Yeah.
And so anything they're naming it on the outside is actually evidence of fraud. That's evidence of fraud because they're not telling you what it actually is. They're misleading you. That's fraud. That's fraud. But we don't understand these simple things such as the law of the flag that's been around ever since man was able to weave cotton or hemp into an article of something. The law of the flag has been there. You know, I'm not sure Judge Blueblood mentioned really a whole lot of the law of the flag. She mentioned a little bit of it, but she wasn't telling you that that law of the flag tells you the whole story throughout this country. The whole story. You know, anything less than the whole truth is a lie by definition.
So the whole point of it all, as everyone should probably have gathered by now, is that they remain empowered because we all remain silent and consent.
Right.
And what they're doing in West Virginia is finally standing up and saying, we're not going to remain silent and consent and allow you to remain empowered. We're calling you out. That's the whole point of it all.
Correct. And I've had so many people saying that we're trying to secede from the Union, and I'm, you know, that is just pure ignorance on their part or laziness and not reading what we've asked for. But all we've asked for, and trust me, I don't agree with what we've asked for, really, because I don't want to return to the original documents. I don't like any of them because they're not written for the benefit of men and women and children on the land. But all we were asking for is for them to comply with the contract. That's it. And I can live with that. I'm not happy with it, but I can live with that. Because then 90% of my life would be free. I would still have a few problems here and there that I could see, but I know how to address those issues. Most of us don't know how to address those issues. But we simply ask for a return to a constitutionally compliant civilian structure that is based upon what they use as their authority to exist. That's just common sense. If you're saying you exist and you're allowed to exist and have authority because of this document, then you must adhere to it. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. And we haven't been given a valid excuse in our court case. They haven't. The only thing they said is, we're government, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, stick your head in doo-doo. Well, that's not an excuse. That's not a reason to violate a clause of a contract. They've actually admitted that they're in violation of it. And they've admitted in their own paperwork that they're operating under different jurisdictions, venues, and law forms than what has been authorized by the contract. So their own responses has been admissions of their guilt. But because we have been dumbed down as a nation, we can't see their simple admissions for what they truly are. And if anybody's saying they're doing something for you, that you don't have to worry about it, they're lying to you. They're lying to you.
Yeah, I know that's right.
If you want something done, you are going to have to do it yourself or with others. No one is doing anything. Judge Blue Blood is not doing anything for your benefit. She's walking into an international law of the sea with no enforcement to try to say she's saving you, okay? She is a calmer. She is one of those people that are sent out to calm you and make you think it's going to be okay. The Pope's coming. He's going to make it okay. Well, I can tell you personally that he is in violation with me in default and dishonor for 2 years. He could not fix a small problem of mine. And then we found the proper way to address that issue within his system, and they still did not address it. So two little problems the Pope cannot address. So if he can't address two little problems, there's no way he can address the system on earth as it is. And it's not even about that. It's all a game, people. It's a game being played. You're the pawns in it. You're the pawns in it.
The rest of the world is waiting to see what we do. There are very few countries that are bigger than ours. There are no countries, really, that have as many weapons privately owned as ours. And so that's it. The rest of the world is waiting, and we're, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, we are the last best hope. That's it. The rest of the world saying, if the United States does not find a way, then all is lost. And, you know, they are protesting over there. In various countries, there are actually some violence being sought out, some in smaller venues and means, but it's happening. But still, it's never going to be enough to turn their countries around.
They're walking in with rocks and sticks and bottles. We have guns. We don't have an excuse for not cleaning it up. There is no excuse. There is no excuse here. They have an excuse. Most countries don't have access to weapons to defend themselves and to take arms against the armed. We do. So we actually have no excuse in this country, and we are the laughing stock of the world because we can stop what's happening to us, and yet we choose to hide in our homes and to allow what they're doing to happen.
Huh?
And there's no reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, the saddest part about all of these phone calls actually is, in my opinion, that all of us, obviously, you know, we're on the same page. But the real people that need to be hearing this, which is, you know, let's just call them the enforcement people in our country, those people with the guns, they're not on the calls. And we've tried to network, and we've tried to pull in leaders from these organizations, but they find excuses in something, a phrase, yeah, a sentence. They read into something that they prefer not to hear or see or whatever, and they use an excuse to back out. And so, I mean, believe me, I can tell you for sure that we have tried to pull in leaders to listen to these calls because that we know and we have known that they're the ones that need to hear what's being discussed on these calls. You know, us people out here, yeah, we can file the paperwork and whatnot, but, you know, and I don't know how many are out there that have guns, and even the ones that I know that do, they are actively pursuing an active role in the enforcement side. But to come back full circle, really, for me, the saddest part about what has gone on this summer, and in particular with our past dozen or so phone calls, is that our teleconferences, is that we could never hold on to those leaders in our calls. I know I run the board. I know who's on and who leaves and who comes the next week or the next day. And it's been disheartening, you know, and I'm not, obviously, what I'm trying to explain is there's nothing that we are explaining that's wrong. It's just that it's the old adage. People hear what they want to hear and see what they want to see. And if they get nervous or whatever, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to commit. And when you're a leader and people, and you have people underneath you that you can, you know, supposed to call, i.e. if you're a leader and then you call those lieutenants or captains, you know, and ask them to, you know, give a green light to an event like this, you know, there's some, you know, there's some responsibility. Some take it a little bit more serious than others, but obviously, you know, it all boils down to them using, you know, the common sense and what you would want to hear from a leader is, I just don't want to put my people in harm's way for, you know, something foolish, or I just don't want to put them in, I don't want to put them in a situation where they might get hurt. Well, it's revolution, people. It's war, you know, and if the numbers are large enough, then, you know, we're going to eliminate or at least drop significantly down to a very, very low percentage of risk. And this is what we've, not on these phone calls where everybody's listening, but on other phone calls that, you know, let's just say a core group of individuals having on a daily basis from us, this is what we keep trying to get across to them. You know, that there's strength in numbers and that we need your help and that, you know, the risk of anything happening as far as a quote-unquote shootout or something like that, things turning south and turning into any kind of a firefight, that risk drops dramatically as you increase the numbers. And so, you know, that's been our, it's been our problem. I mean, it's been our, what we've been facing here, and it's been difficult. Believe me, it's hard to sit there and pay people respect, not get curt in our language, and not start to, as Tom would say, he's, you know, Tom probably one of the best at being able to use words to, you know, start to leverage you, you know, psychologically. And so, you know, but it's not someplace he wants to go. It's not someplace any of us want to go. So, you know, the point is that it's been hard. It's been an uphill battle every single conversation, because these folks are tentative and they're nervous because the system has been built for the past 100 years to keep us in fear, to dumb us down educationally, to make us not so healthy food wise and what we consume and what we breathe and what we drink. And this is all of the reasons why we need this to stop, and we need to take our country back and more. Because ultimately we are and have the opportunity 200 and let's just say for number's sake, 50 years after it's already been done once and we were seen by the rest of the world as the guiding light, you know, we have that opportunity again, and people around the world are waiting for us to do that. They want us to do it. They want to see what the recipe is, you know, and so, you know, here we are. I mean, we're not going to stop. I mean, it's just everybody on the call, I think, is of the same mindset. Obviously, the leaders that have taken the role of doing what they've done in the past half dozen years, they have obviously committed to the end. So, you know, here we stand. We're not going to stop until we've at least tried everything we can do until it comes to a point where they pull the plug and we start down. If you're pardoned the metaphor, you know, if you're at Blizzard Beach and you're going down that water slide, once you have slid past the point of no return, you're on that 35-mile-an-hour water slide, and there's nothing that's going to stop you, you know. So, you know, we would hope that prior to that moment that, you know, if the Lord will has a plan and he uses us as he sees necessary and his timing is impeccable and that, you know, we were able to get enough cage rattling to strike a little fear, you know, God originated fear, into these groups where they finally say, you know what, you know, it's this. This is all, West Virginia is all we got. It's either that or we take to the streets and we play this out the way they want it, which is going to be an obliteration for our side. You know, so this is, I have, you know, I'm getting more involved here at this point in the conversations because I really need you people to look through your phone books. I really do. I mean, these three gentlemen have begged long enough. So I'll take up the charge and I'm begging you, you know, please look in your phone books, go online, make just an anonymous call to see if you can't find your way into a militia group, you know, I mean, if that's your calling, if you can't pick up the weapon or strap on a sidearm yourself and become part of the enforcement equation, maybe you can connect dots using your computer if that's your forte, you know, maybe you have an hour to dedicate to doing that and making one or two phone calls, and who knows, maybe that's enough to get a small group of 150 from another state surrounding West Virginia to sit there and go, okay, we'll go if we see you're there. If you establish something there, a point of contact, will be there. You know, I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm postulating here. I'm not going to lie to you, but I mean, I'm trying to give you examples to sit there and say, look, you know, become part of the core group. This is who you are on this phone call. You know, these teleconferences that you've been attending for the past month or longer, you know, you're part of the core group. You're the ones where we're hoping, you know, file the papers, you know, spend the hour doing some networking, trying to send people our way so that we can cubbyhole them in the right direction and get like minds talking and do some covert planning and make this happen. I mean, now's the time. We'll keep saying now's the time. We're saying that all summer, but I mean, literally, you know, we're in the end of days, people. This is
Gene again, if I could interrupt you. This is the easiest way out. The alternative is not going to be pretty. So, you know, I can't speculate on the alternative, but I can say, judging from the enemy here, that it won't be very pretty, and we have an opportunity to do everything that people are able to do right now. People won't be able to do if we keep waiting. You won't have the opportunities that we have now, and this is a very simple and safe, relatively safe. Nothing's for sure, but this beats the alternative. I'll just say that, and people should wake up and look at it. It's here. All you have to do is follow it. It won't get any easier than this.
Well, with that, I just wanted to mention it's going on 11:15, and if anyone has any last questions, let's bring them up. And then if not, I am not, like Steve Grunk, I am not a street minister, but I will try my best to do some sort of a closing prayer before we close out. So if anyone has any last questions, let's get those out there, and then we'll go ahead and close up for tonight. This Thursday, I'm sorry, at 8 p.m., folks, as you know. So that will be the next time we get together. So if there's any questions.
Yeah, this is Stephen from South Carolina. I'm just sorry I didn't find out about this a month or two ago, or a year ago, or whatever.
That's all right,
Stephen.
You guys,
that's
all right. You call me, and we'll move forward with whatever you want to do. I'll spend the extra time to help you get your. I'll get your complaint going. I'll work with Tom and you, and we'll get it together if you're ready to do such a thing. And that's fine.
Yeah, I'm
you
ready.
Know, it,
ready.
Yeah.
I'll put my name on anything. I don't care.
I know.
Fuck them people. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. There's Christians on here.
That's all right. All right, folks. I'm going to go ahead and try my best with a quick little prayer. You know, Lord, we believe in you to the very core of our souls, every one of us here. And we know you have a plan. We know it. We know that you have one. We want what we're asking is for you to use us in whatever capacity you feel necessary to accomplish what you need to do to help us help ourselves and be victorious over the beast and its minions. And if you're not so spiritually inclined, the establishment, the corporate structure, those self-professed deities that run everything. So, you know, Lord, we ask this in Jesus Christ and you, everyone in the heavenly realm, and all of us good souls down here, we want to help you do your work. We want to help you defeat the dark side of things. So that's all I have to say. Amen on that. And thank you, folks,
amen,
for getting on the phone call tonight.
Amen.
Yeah. We'll
with that, can I just... Ambassador Batman of the Universe would like to say, same Bat Channel Thursday.
Godspeed.
I'm that back.